114.
Okay, welcome to the May 24th, 2023 regular meeting of the Port of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself and by stating your name. If you'd like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. This is a preliminary agenda and subject to change. So can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
All right.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move to approve the agenda as written.
Is there any discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
I think you have to second.
What?
You have to second, I think.
We do.
All in favor. Aye.
Aye.
Very good.
Okay. Public comment isn't. Right, Joe?
There's no public. Damn.
Right. And so that leads us to the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. And the items are to approve the April 19th, 2023 special session minutes, to approve the April 25th work session meeting minutes, to approve the April 26th, 2023 regular meeting minutes, the April 27th, 2023 special session minutes, the May 2nd work session meeting minutes, approve the May 9th, 2023 work session meeting minutes, and to approve the April 2023 warrants in the amount of $129,220.48. And EFT payments of $115,976.02.
I move that we accept the consent agenda items as written.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, action items. We don't have any action items today. Discussion items. Greg, did you have anything you wanted to put forward?
I just wanted to put forward a comment about the Kitsap County Comprehensive Planning effort. So the current draft of the Kingston Subarea Plan recommendations from the Port Commission has been submitted to KCAC as well as the Kitsap County, with the exception of the storefront zone revision. I'm going to send that to the county. I haven't sent them the revised exhibit yet. Kitsap County Advisory Commission is meeting this afternoon. We will review, after obtaining their final revisions, the current versions that the port has for the economic development portion of the subarea plan, as well as the transportation part of the component of the subarea plan. And then we will be holding a special session for the Port Commission to discuss and endorse our submittal to Kitsap County. We will presumably be holding that special session for this coming Tuesday.
At the same time as the work session.
Yes, probably we'll have some discussion during the work session, and then for 30 minutes, and then make sure that we pass it at 9:30. We'll Well, it will be a regular session only. This session will be that we'll take a vote. We'll actually have an action.
An action and a special session, right?
Got it.
And I think that's the 30th, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
Gotcha.
I just wanted to put that out there as a discussion item. If there's any additional discussion that the work commission would like to need.
Not at this time.
I think we'll have the opportunity on Tuesday to have any final discussion.
And the only other item is, you know, we are still collating all the feedback from the commercial development, public meeting that we had. But we will collate it and try to get it posted as soon as we can to our website for public review.
That's good.
When was that public meeting?
The 19th and the 27th.
Of April, yeah. So it's funny, I was saying the same thing, yeah.
Discussion items. So that takes us to the financials. Great.
It's going to be very brief. We have a total operating revenue of $832,238 year to date. And we have cost of goods sold of $61,393, leaving us with a gross profit of $770,846. Our total operating expenses before depreciation are $815,607. So that leaves us with a net operating income loss before depreciation of $44,761. We've had a little bit of a weaker year on fuel sales, seasonal mortgage, and some rental property revenue, but which is actually an adjustment. But the main things were operating where we lost was the fuel and the seasonal mortgage. So what we expect to have, you know, we have a really good, we always have a tough first quarter. That's always been traditionally our first quarter. Last year, we had a loss of $22,800. This year we have a little bit more. But we usually have a really good second quarter. Third quarter is our best quarter. So, you know, we have kind of half a year where we struggle a little bit. This coming year, I think a big goal for us is we will really want to increase our seasonal and guest mortgage numbers. That's where there's an awful lot of upside. Mm-hmm. And then we hope that parking strengthens with Kitsap Transit's operations. And, if they can really, have their vessels, they're going to do a little bit of a refit right now mm-hmm. on their vessels up in Shipyard. So if they get that done and they can maintain continuity of operations, I think they're going to see some bigger numbers. They're running on Saturdays, and I think it'll be a real plus for them. I think they're going to start doing well, and if they do well, then that helps our parking numbers. Mm-hmm. So that's where I hope we start growing our revenue from. So that's the plan. But we're going to start putting some things in place, I think, earlier this year than we did last year. Last year, for some reason, from the previous year, we had about half the seasonal mortgage customers that we had mm-hmm. this year. We had about half of them from the previous year. And some of them, they went to different places for different reasons. Like some went up to Point Roberts. But like Point Roberts, is super cheap, right? So they hear about Point Roberts, they go up there. But like I just met with some people from Port of Bellingham, different places. They said Point Roberts is just doing terribly. Mm. And part of the reason is because they're not charging enough to reinvest in these assets. And they're getting really low end of only price only is the only decision making aspect of their buying decision. So they said, they're really struggling in Point Roberts, and they don't see it turning around with this kind of an approach. You know, if you charge nothing, and then they're using those assets, they actually, you're going backwards. So, but it is what it is. So this year, what we hope is that we're going to actually build more awareness for Kingston, and we'll have to actually conduct some more outreach to try to market our assets. I think we're going to get people in. Yeah. That's it in a nutshell.
Any questions for Greg?
No.
Okay, thank you. takes us to our next public comment period. The multitudes are crying out. Which then takes us to commission reports. Steve?
Let's see. So I think the highlight for this month for me was the spring meeting of WPPA. There were some really excellent, you know, group discussions about all sorts of things. The only thing that did seem to be missing was discussion about federal permitting that was from that review. Everything else really was great and solid, but I really had hoped to see more information, some kind of advance on how that the federal permitting for marinas related to infrastructure improvements and things like that. And so that was the only thing that I can say I felt was lacking. Everything else was phenomenal. I really thought the content was excellent, and all the presentations, again, were excellent.
And I think the federal permitting issue was, I heard it referenced.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
In several different meetings, but
yeah.
No detail.
I mean, everyone's saying, oh, it's going to be difficult. Clearly, that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't know why small ports are in a different category than, you know, marine terminals. And that doesn't seem logical to me when the biggest bang for the buck may be, you know, in relation to large marine terminals for, you know, just the sheer amount of, you know, bang for buck benefit. Oh, plus, you know, they have, you know, more resources as well. So, but that's all I have.
If you don't mind my commenting,
sure.
I think that one of the things that I wrote was a big takeaway for me was the presentation that was done concerning the role of ports in the whole pipeline of goods.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was a really well done presentation, but it also made me understand that the large ports probably have lots of friends in high places.
Uh-huh.
That and don't appear in any way to be negotiable.
Yeah. I mean, our unique situation here in Kingston relating to our passenger-only ferry and that nexus of transportation and commerce, that part of commerce, plus the Washington State ferries, where we're the, you know, the heaviest user of the you know, transportation, albeit trucking transportation, but still, it's a state highway. We're part of a state highway, and we have infrastructure here that's getting aged, including the breakwater. And if the breakwater wasn't there, I don't know that we'd really have a very good nexus between these two facilities that are run by other agencies that we have agreements with. So it's a difficulty for sure.
But that might be really worth highlighting when
maybe.
We are talking to.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people really know, oh, Marina, Kingston.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That nexus. Because trucking sounded as big as big ships to me as I was listening.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And then other ports, obviously, you know, have rail and trucking centers and things like that too. So all about moving goods and providing services, so.
A lot of times cargo gets divided up between people and freight.
Yeah.
So, and then you have the service aspect of across both of them, but we're a huge mover of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're the number two largest mover up, you know, within the Wash State Highway, state highway system for mm-hmm. ferries. And we're the number one for commercial traffic for the state ferries.
Yep.
So we do have a marine terminal. It's the state ferry.
Right.
Right. It's a deep water terminal.
Good point, yeah.
So we do have that. We haven't mm-hmm. taken a role as a port of taking advantage of working on that because the state pretty much says, look, within their lease, that they will kind of handle the capital improvements. That's not to say the port, we couldn't apply for certain things and partner up with them, which we would be eligible for.
Yeah.
But it would be redefining our relationship, certainly with the state ferry, but more, maybe I would say more of a partnership potentially. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot of time and effort to do those things. But a lot of times people don't identify with the Port of Kingston with the state ferry.
And right.
A lot of people don't even know that they're our tenant. Yeah. It's kind of like Port of Seattle. A lot of people there didn't even know the airport was run by the Port of Seattle. They
right.
still don't.
Yeah.
And you go, oh no, we run the airport too when we're, and same thing here. A lot of times they associate the Port of Kingston with the marina.
Mm-hmm.
But it's marina, it's the fast ferry, it's the state ferry assets, as well as Upland's assets, and also the port district, what you can potentially do within a port district.
Mm-hmm.
So could that relationship or that potential give us a leg up in dealing with these agencies in reference to permitting, because apparently they're doing the larger entities have applied for not to be have to adhere to that new calculator and all those things. Would a
they kind of segregated by asset is usually the permit sometimes, so yes, maybe, but not probably. Not very likely, but for those assets, let's say when you look for major infrastructure investment, the state could be a sponsor and the port could be a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And we could both go after, product. So as an example, on a smaller scale, the state went after a grant from RCO for boat launch, for the Upland part of it. The port went after the same RCO grant for the launch, because they own that asset.
Mm-hmm.
So that way they partner up together, and that might be something that we could look at.
Mm-hmm.
As it is now, I think the state just looks at, we'll go it alone, we kind of got to have our program. We haven't traditionally pursued it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to say that you can't.
But do they have to go by those same standards of the calculator and all that?
Yes. They're arguing that they're exempt.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah.
Glasses you have on looking at the request.
Mm-hmm. But right now I haven't heard that they are exempt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the more people that aren't exempt will create more of a uproar for saying, "Wait a minute here, you're going to put us out of business if you continue on this road."
I think that is the big thing, is trying to bring people together. First of all, there's not an awareness, because unless you've been pursuing anything,
right?
And even those situations where they're even going almost retroactively
mm-hmm.
To smaller ports, and everybody's trying to almost like process this and intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
What does this really mean? Like, what are you talking? How is this possible? And so we're at the really front edge. And it's just happened to be that we're trying to do a couple of projects, and we're right at the very leading edge of it. And it depends on what kind of project as to the degree of the severity of how it impacts you financially, like even the ability to execute on a project.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of people are just trying to get their arms around it, and they're kind of approaching it. When you have marine terminals and you're part of those trade associations, then you have a different dialogue, and they're already in that dialogue a little bit. But when you're part of small ports, and you don't, like we're not members of AAPA, We're not members, which is American Association of Port Authorities, which is for marine terminals.
Yeah.
And it's pretty expensive. You know, it's a big ticket item. We're not members of the Northwestern Marine Terminal Association, which we could also be a member of, because we have a marine terminal. But those are the two that work more at a federal level, and they work with marine terminals. So since we haven't been active in those, that's why we're not maybe as involved in those dialogue.
Right.
But some of the big ports, they are also seeing it with the small port component lines of business, like Marina's, for example.
Yeah.
So I think the WPPA really deals more at state level. We joined the Pacific Northwest Waterways Association.
Right, yeah.
Which does deal at a federal level. We actually wrote up a kind of a white paper example of how this permitting, these constraints are affecting real world examples of projects, right? What does it mean? And so they've taken that forward in terms of their lobbying efforts to say, hold on a minute. And then we sent out some information to both Cantwell, Murray, and Kilmer,
right.
our federal representatives,
yeah.
saying, this is a serious concern we have, and can you guys get some staffers or somebody to pay attention here and really look at it? Can't you do something like soon? Because this, we can't defer indefinitely until otherwise it's not going to be a deferral.
Right.
You know, some projects we just have to say we have to turn the money back. We can't afford it.
It's
so crazy.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But we do have a marine terminal.
But
we've been, so it's sometimes, here's the difference when you, many of these, even the big ports, a lot of times they're actually not always so conversant because they're a landlord port. They don't operate the marine terminals.
Mm-hmm.
So the ports that operate the marine terminals, just like we operate our marina, you're super knowledgeable, but we could be a landlord port for the marina too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be, I'm just a landlord, I'm not really worried about all that stuff, other than when it comes back, and at the end of the lease, when it comes back into the port ownership and operation, potentially, mm-hmm. unless you extend it. So then within all the ports, you have different understandings. If you're a landlord and you're not actively operating facilities, that's a very different thing than if you're operating a terminal or you're operating marinas.
It might be interesting to spark a conversation with WSF and Kitsap Transit in conjunction with the conversation about electrification.
Yeah.
You know, here's what the future is looking like, people.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'd love to get a copy of those papers.
Yeah,
you said
it's a simple email, I'll send it to you. It was kind of like, hey, here's how it translates really. And actually you guys have had that information. I did send it in a different form.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
I did it more just to say, look, you got this is, you guys really need to pay attention. Like, this is a big deal, and it's gonna stop everything. First of all, ports. And big ports it could. The difference is that it's really a problem when they stop all cargo from moving forward because you can't do the improvements to your marine terminal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Then all of a sudden the you know, it's like really magnified, like, oh, wait a minute. So then they might say, oh, well, maybe it's easier and more palatable if we just do an exception for this, not. Because a lot of the marine terminal, some of the ports that do marine terminals, they don't have a marina necessarily, a lot of them. And the marina is, you know, a small part of their portfolio.
Right.
Right. But it is a large part of their taxpayers and stakeholders and customer base, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the complexity of having marinas compared to where you have one tenant who's operates your marine terminal for grain or, you know.
Yeah, I remember back in, I want to say the mid-90s, maybe late-ish 90s, when 104 and this terminal were identified as the pathway for freight. And I think I'll dig back and see what I can find that got said at that time. It might be relevant to use.
Yeah.
At least be aware of
it. Well, another thing what changes too, so trucking, which is a big part of our commercial freight going through our terminal, right? That is completely morphed when your fuel costs go up.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So to give you an idea, so just as an example, it used to cost maybe $200, $300 to, for a truck to get a container and go to Renton and come back to Seattle or whatever, right? Now, you know, it could be 14 or, you know, or maybe $300 just to go to Anacortes and down to Tacoma or Seattle. Now it's like, could be $1,200 each way, or $800 each way. So a lot of times you don't have a backhaul, so it's still $1,600 bill versus a $600 bill.
Yeah.
Well, you think all the truckloads, so then it's much more attractive maybe to take the ferry and not dray, because your fuel costs are killing you driving all the way through Tacoma and all the way north. Mm-hmm. So if the ferries are operating consistently, then they're going to take the ferry across to Edmonds and go north from there, because it cuts off a lot of fuel expense and they pay the ferry.
Yeah.
But it takes trucks off the road, it's cleaner, there's all these benefits. So it, the fuel cost, that alone can be a big tipping point, you know, like it makes more efficient. But they, again, the ferries are trying to replace their ships, and we're dependent upon them to, you know, to fulfill that part of the capital program too. And maybe there's something we can help with, you know, as another, and just where sometimes we could be the sponsor, but we really haven't had the bandwidth to even entertain some of these things until more recently. So, but that's where the partnership, they could help us with that.
Yeah, it used to be that the truck traffic came in at all the terminals, and then it focused on Kingston.
Yeah.
And that changed a lot.
Okay. They were very interesting. Yeah, it's a good, that's some of those WPPA meetings, that's why they can be very useful, start getting you to look at things a little bit differently, and then you realize what, you know, it's a problem for everybody. But we want to bring everybody along to solve the problem, not leave people behind. That's, to me, an important part of the community's advocacy. Don't leave the small ones behind.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, that was good. I'm glad we had this kind of, almost like a round table, if you will, of the problem, I think. Yeah.
Laura? I too really enjoyed the WPPA conference. There was lots of good information. I got handouts here. I think I'll leave them with Chris so that, you know, if anybody wants them, they can look at them. There's the environmental one, there's the state tourism, there's the legislative priorities. Lots of really good dialogue and content, and able to talk to people that, you know, can share ideas and share lots of different things. It was really nice to hook up with the Port of Edmonds. David was relentless in trying to get us to come up with things that we could partner on.
Yeah.
So I expect that we'll be hearing from him, because he's, you know, he's gung-ho. So, really nice guy, though. The one thing that I wanted to make sure that we, I did the affordable housing group, too. And I think it would be good to let the people from the group, the affordable housing group, know that one of the statements they made was that Amazon is applying for $50 million to Washington State for affordable housing. Where they're going to put that, what they're going to do with it, I'm not quite sure, but yeah. And they did say, another comment, they said that there was a port of, I can't remember. Camas Washougal, that they were doing residential on their property, but technically they had land leased to a developer who was doing the housing, not them. Yeah. I only heard part of the conversation, then I went up to him afterwards and said, wait a minute here.
How would that work?
That just like our building, if someone came in that was a landlord and wanted to just put residential there, they would be leasing the building from us. It wouldn't be us doing it. It would be them doing it.
So these aren't homes for purchase then. They would still be under the
apartments.
Leasee.
They're apartments or condos.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And they weren't necessarily low income. And the comment that was made by the attorney is that you would have to do your due diligence to connect any housing to economic development.
Yeah, you have to do a finding.
But if there was a deficit of jobs,
Yes, all right, workforce.
Right, and, or sorry, a, if there is a glut of jobs without the available housing, and that's kind of how they did that nexus, as I understand.
Which is exactly how they did it, too, is they said that there was certain companies that were coming in that didn't have workforce housing. And another thing that I heard, it was really interesting from the Moses Lake Port Commissioner, said that with the battery company going in Moses Lake and something else, their population was gonna double in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
It's like, wow!
It was crazy even driving through what you thought, what, I mean, what I thought, on the I-90 corridor, there are several towns where it's like, there's just houses everywhere. Mm-hmm. And people are commuting. And that's the same thing going on.
Or remote.
Know, in, right, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not required they're so just, much anymore.
They're building houses like crazy over there right now on the street that my son lives on. Only half of the homes are occupied. The other half are just have gotten done or for sale or for, it's just amazing. They're just, and they've got areas to build more in that area too. It's just exploding. But anyway, it was a really good conference. I would be here a half hour telling everything that I really liked, so I won't do that.
I also enjoyed that the three of us were there together.
Me too.
And that it was great. We were all there.
Yeah.
I thought that was wonderful.
It was really good.
And our, and staff too, for sure.
And our extras.
It was awesome.
The Kingston Affordable Housing Work Group is pretty focused on low-income housing.
Right.
Yeah. And I think in the sense that workforce housing isn't the issue in Kitsap that it is elsewhere. But it's really good input back to them that, A, the affordable housing issue is a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm. And, it is. And that, you know, that's exactly what they said that Amazon was doing. So,
yeah. And how much did you say they
50
had?
Million. They're applying for 50 million to Washington State for affordable housing.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laura. Mm-hmm. Well, I had a couple of things in addition to the spring meeting, which I also really got a lot out of, that I wanted to make us all aware of. One is that the community conversation that has gone on since, I think, 2017 or 18, and last year was done by Zoom, and it sort of worked, but not entirely. And the steering committee met last night and has tentatively, we're checking dates, but looking at October 21st or 28th, and doing it again this year with a focus on, how did she put that? Building a hopeful future together.
And what committee is that?
It is basically sponsored by Kingston Cares.
Okay.
But there's a consortium of agencies that are, and the port has participated as a sponsor in the past.
Gotcha.
So that's
a community
coming
up. Effort, kind of, to get the messaging, kind of, right? Sort of.
Well, identify the issues that people care about and figure out what to do about
it. Yep.
The other thing that I wanted to mention is that I've been working with Clint Boxman and Rotary on the sports stadium partnership. And at this point, at least as of a week ago, there's a lot of interest in a partnership with a private developer who is looking at putting retail, significant housing, and the stadium, the sports complex, out significantly outside of the UGA. And I think we're going to need to really understand that before we get enmeshed in the advocacy for something that probably just can't happen. And as much as I love that project, I'm hoping that over the next couple of meetings, that we can get some kind of a read back from the county that essentially says, no way, Jose, we're not putting 300 homes out in the rural area, so...
Isn't that what they're trying to avoid having?
Densify the rural area.
No, the county is trying to avoid...
Yeah, we don't want to densify the rural area, so...
The urban growth area, you can't put retail, especially that's not highway corridor retail.
Yep.
And a bunch of housing out, way outside the UGA. And on top of that, it would weaken the economic vitality of Kingston even further to have a big retail development that is new, cool, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll keep you apprised of what's happening on that. I'm just concerned that it could become very controversial and how difficult it would be to keep answering that with, yeah, but the sports stadium is a great thing. You know, it's a great thing, but, and, you know, so anyway, that's continuing to go. So that was my report.
So just to let you know, you said the possibilities for the meeting were the 21st and the 29th?
28th.
28th. So we have a port conference that we're all at in October. October 25th, 26th, 27th.
I think it's small parts. I think
yes,
that's small parts.
Yes, I believe
parts.
It's in Lake Chelan.
Lake Chelan, yeah.
Through the 27th.
Yes, just wanted to let you know.
Okay. 25th, 26th, 27th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My concern is that I know that you would probably be heavily involved.
Yeah, I sure will.
Yeah, doing paperwork for the community conversation, probably.
Probably not a lot of paperwork, but lots and lots of preparation for the whole thing. Yeah, but it's a great group of people. Pretty much the same group, plus a few more that have been running it from the beginning. Okay, so thank you. I've not tracked that. Okay. Staff reports.
Chris, you want to go first?
So we have hired our seasonal help. We have twin brothers, Caden and Carter Krantz. Caden is doing the landscaping with Joe. Do you?
I know them.
Yeah.
They're really nice kids.
Oh, yeah. Carter's like 6'8".
Carter's a huge kid.
He's 6'8".
But there's, I got to go down to see him now.
Yeah, so Caden is doing the landscaping. Carter's doing part-time on the marina attendant piece. He also has another job that he's doing this summer. So what we did was, knowing that we're going to have Joe gone on a mission for 3 weeks, almost 4 weeks, and then other vacations, we brought on Nicole Novak to be a full-time seasonal on the marina, out on the fuel dock, and then Carter to help fill, and so he'll be able to kind of go wherever he's needed throughout those times where
that's
we're...
That's great.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so super, all three are super kids. They all attend Wazoo, so we only have them through August, but Ray was super thankful to get them and have them as long as we can. Plus, we've talked about, you know, potentially coming back for holidays, weekends, long weekends that they come back, and if we have stuff for them to do there, they've all said yes, please.
Because those are times as well where events happen
that
would be helpful to have additional staff.
And they were all really excited about that. Right. So
those boys are really responsible young men.
Yeah.
Are.
Yeah, hard workers. Mm-hmm. And both of them were like, can I start now? You know, they were just ready to go. And we have completed the recruitment part of, you know, at least acquiring all the resumes and applications for the customer service coordinator in the office. We have about 24 applicants to go through. So we're gonna, we've decided to take time, each of us individually, gather our top five, and then review together next week and see, you know, who we want to bring in, and hopefully get somebody in that position super quick. So, take some of the pressure off of Rose. So, we've been diligently going through our marine software review on just, we've had some meetings with some of the other ports and what they're using and how they like it and what's going on. So we're getting close to making a decision on that. Stacy's following up with some things on the accounting piece because we want everything to be integrated. And how does that look and what is required? We're also looking at integrating the fuel into the marina software so that we'll be able to electronically gauge all of that and invoicing and that type of stuff. So more to come. Super excited. That'll create a lot of efficiency and provide more time to focus on the marketing piece and start looking at, you know, outreach. How do we get more yacht clubs in? How do we start events and things like that to bring more people into the port? So super excited about that. Lots of good candidates. Or candidates for the other role, but then the two that we've narrowed it down to, both are pretty well, they do everything we want them to do, one more than another. But what else do I have going on? I feel like that's taken
up
a lot.
You had a wonderful time at the WPC.
I did, yes. I learned a lot. I'm looking forward to the finance administration one that's in June out at Alderbrook, because I think that'll be more directed towards some of the things that we focus on. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to meeting and networking some people there. So
yeah.
I think that's probably all I've been doing.
Is Audra and Stacy going to that one too?
Audra and I are both registered for it. She may be handing that off to Stacy.
Okay.
She's not sure how she's gonna
right.
feel. So
okay.
But Stacy and I will both be going probably.
Okay.
So there'll be two of us.
Very
so we
cool.
can kind of tag team. And you go to this one, I'll go to that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to that.
That's great. That staff goes to these.
Absolutely.
I think they can learn a lot from it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. This one, I haven't been to this one yet, so.
And you get to know us better, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the best part, is, yeah, getting to hang out with you guys, so.
Of course.
Yes.
Are any of us planning to go to the finance?
No.
No.
And then so you guys
all
have
by
your directors.
You'll be all by
or
the
commissioners.
Yes, yeah, the directors.
That's Alderbrook as well.
Yeah, we're
there's a commission one in Alderbrook.
Yep.
That's in July.
Yeah, and yours is never in a good place. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, the executive director's one.
LaPush.
It'll probably be in.
Last year it was Bellingham and the Days Inn or whatever.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Well,
yeah.
Well, that's where he tries to stay.
That's where he stays.
Isn't ours the, like the 20th? It's like over a weekend. It's like the 23rd, 24th, 25th, or 26th
no,
or something.
No, it's not a weekend.
It shouldn't
be.
You're talking about
no.
the commissioner seminar?
Yeah.
I show it as the 24th, 25th, 26th.
Yeah, I think because I go a day early. Because I'm pretty
okay.
sure it starts on the morning of the 24th.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, but I remember it's a weird time of the week. It's not like it normally is.
Mm-hmm.
But like
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. So that's all I have.
I show commissioner seminar being Alderbrook.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
you guys are there as well.
Why do I have Vancouver?
That is the. Next winter.
Thank you.
Is the all or the
all the all ports or the what do you
the
call
winter
it?
Meeting fall
yeah.
whatever
yeah,
you
yeah.
call
yeah,
it
yeah,
yeah.
In
that's
December
Vancouver.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
First week of December is
yeah.
Vancouver.
That's
right.
And
okay.
not
yeah.
Vancouver, Canada. Too bad. Too
no.
bad.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be in Washington.
I do know. Okay, Greg.
Yeah. So. I thought, so at the Marina Committee meeting, I thought there was a couple of really good things. We just talked about risk, and we had from CSD Law, which is our attorney's representative, Tim Schermetzler, he talked about legal risk. And he started off talking about derelict vessels, which, you know, I really want to compliment our staff, Ray and Tori, and really everybody, because they all are kind of engaged in it. But Rose and Austin, everybody, because, you know, we had a real success with really, as much as we could have had success,
yeah.
Because we don't have, everything's not in our control, mm-hmm. But, you know, working with that 90-foot tug to try to address that from the very first day, pretty much, mm-hmm. to a successful conclusion, well, not successful enough, but, you know, the state taking ownership of it through a COVID yeah. period. But I thought what was really interesting, Schermetzler, he discussed the Port of Silverdale as an example of a scenario where they went to DNR just like we did. They were able to recover. Now, they had a vessel that sank, and they had to recover it, right? Mm-hmm. Normally, it'd be nice if we get to the point where we can prevent that from happening, where it's actually, they take possession of it, and they actually destroy it in a more constructive manner than having it as a response, emergency response to a vessel that goes aground or sinks, mm-hmm. right? Because then it's too late. But anyway, what was really interesting was Tim brought up that they were able to recover attorney's fees. And that DNR covered that, yes. So I think, you know, that'll be something that we're going to track really closely if we have to work with our attorneys. Mm-hmm. Because as you go through this process, there's a kind of a legal process that goes through it. And we, yeah. you know, we may, you know, we'll see how it all goes. But we were pretty about as aggressive as we could get. But it's just good to know that if there is something that does take place, we should cover those attorney's fees. And of course, we track staff time, and that also is recoverable.
Right.
But we should probably track it more closely. So that was really good. And then we had Joe Davis from Enduras. He spoke, and he talked about overall about Enduras. Enduras actually insures 56 out of 75 ports mm-hmm. in the state of Washington, mm-hmm. and we're one of them. They're also our insurance carrier, our risk pool that we're a member of. And he talked really about overall about property and liability risks. Most of the risk comes out of property for ports, not so much out of liability. It's kind of, let's say it's a, you know, kind of almost a 90-10 rule for mm-hmm. property to liability risk. And he talked about, you know, things that we're doing that we would, yeah, that he actually sent me an email follow-up saying, hey, the stuff that you guys did for slip and falls, which was a claim, what we could do there, that's more of a liability risk. But anyway, it was just interesting overall, his perspective. He did get into, we kind of ran out of time, he did talk about the overall insurance market. The overall insurance market is really difficult globally, and there's not much more we can do other than we can go to zero claims is ideally
yeah.
the direction we want
right.
to try to get to.
Yeah.
But he did have some metrics which I really appreciated. So I'm going to work with him on measures that we can take to across the industry, really, and then we promulgate this out through all the marina committees, to all the ports, and say, hey, what are things that we can do to try to, you know, just eliminate or really, really reduce claims, the level of claims, and our overall risk profile. Because the marinas were had a pretty high risk profile compared to other lines of business that they have under their risk overall risk coverage for insurance. So he had kind of a nice, you know, it was a good metric. Said, hey, if we can reduce that, cut back within the 14 million though, and out of the 12 million, there was one claim which is a really substantial claim. And so it's not the, you know, sometimes it's not the likelihood, but it's if you have something that occurs which is catastrophic that you want to try to avoid that too. But we do things which I think can really cause a lot of damage, you know, and create a lot of claims like storms. Storms are a big one for ports. And so we go through and, you know, it's making sure that you engineer all of your assets so they can withstand the kind of impacts you get from extreme weather events. Mm-hmm. And then also we go through all those, which is the property claim, right?
Yeah.
They get damaged. So I know that we do walkthroughs before any time we think we're having a weather event. They go through and do an inspection of all the docks. All of these things help towards not having claims or eliminating claims as much as possible. And then I think the other thing that we try to do is we built kind of more and more of a culture of awareness and be proactive. And so if there is a claim, we're immediately all over it. We document it much more thoroughly now, I think. And then the other thing is if someone's affected, you know, which is one of our customers or tenants, we try to make sure that we reach out and work with them. And I think that goes a long way towards that we actually do care.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, because sometimes you end up in litigation and it's more emotionally driven than it is really fact-driven of any kind of damages. But they get to the point where if you don't address these issues, it can snowball and magnify, sadly. But by being proactive and being engaging with the people that and make sure that they get the answers and level of service that they deserve, then we walk through those claims, and I think that's helped reduce the overall level of the monetary value. What they've said too is that the number of claims hasn't necessarily gone up or down. It's just the dollar value of the claims has risen drastically, which is what's affecting our premiums. I thought that was really interesting. Anyway, I really appreciate them coming and speaking to us. And as we go forward, we'll have another number of things. There's a number of different things we'll share with other marinas. And as we develop those tools, and other marinas and ports will share with us, which is, I think, creating that is really helpful. Because you don't want to reinvent the wheel, but there's a certain amount of standardization that should protect all of us.
Yeah,
equally.
Right.
Certainly indemnification clauses. For ports, so that we don't assume risk on behalf of the customer that we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be assuming those risks on behalf of the public. And then hold harmlesses. Those are two really key components that make sure we don't transfer risk to the port unnecessarily where we shouldn't be assuming that risk.
Yeah.
That's usually their thing is don't depart from statute. It's drafted by attorneys. It's the code. It's law. Don't reinterpret it, even though sometimes people do that. There's a tendency to say, oh, let's put this in layman terms. Don't do it in layman terms. Certainly say this is the rule of law governs. You can restate it if you're going to in your rules and regs, leave it at that. There's a reason why. Like, we've had this dialogue. I don't like reading that. I'm not sure what that means. What's the legalese behind it? There's a reason why it's stated that way, and there's case law that supports that, and that really seriously limits your downside in the event. And it actually provides legal clarity, which is different than individual clarity, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really appreciate what their points that they made.
Would you keep us updated on what's going on with that? Because I think that's really important to the whole, as we look forward,
mm-hmm.
not only in terms of the insurance risk, but all of the implications for marina replacement and so on and so forth.
Yes, 100%.
Great.
I want to make a comment. I really appreciate it. I attended Greg's marina presentation, and I wanted to make a comment at the end, but you guys ran out of time. You guys were so totally over time. They were saying, get out of the room! Yeah. But the claim that you were talking about, you said that there was, you know, the amount of total claims that we had against ports did include a large claim, and that was that fire that happened at that one marina. Greg was so clear and concise in his presentation. It was so wonderful.
Yeah.
It was very informative. And in listening to Endurus talk, I think you guys should have them there every time, because they really were very informative. They got their point across, and it made me appreciate all the more how Greg and the staff has been so incredibly proactive when it comes to insurance and risks. And actually, the man mentioned, you know, inviting them out to the port to walk the port. To discover the risks before they become an issue, before they become a problem, before you have a claim. To me, that is just so, it speaks volumes.
Yeah.
About being proactive in reference to insurance. And not just Greg, but staff too,
yep.
Doing the same thing. And so I really, I just really appreciate that. And you did a fabulous job, but I really highly recommend Endurus comes back.
Yeah, we talk about that. So we're trying to talk about, okay, what's the how are we going to do this? What's the strategy? Because there's so many topics, right?
Yes.
So we said let's start with a more broad view, And then what we'll do is we'll start taking very a little more, and we'll drill down as we move forward, because this is a process, right?
It is.
And you just keep going over, and then you got to keep re-educating people, and you get changing staff, or something new comes up. But
it relates on so many different levels, because not only having insurance, but preventing the risk, but also making sure your rules and regs are up to date to help you do those other things, that they all fall together.
Yes.
And that I heard that in more than one committee meeting.
Yeah.
Was your rules and regs. If they aren't up to date, then you're just, you know, you're a ship out of water.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's just so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's really great here. You know, I think we take a little bit for granted, but aligning the commission and governance and policy that you guys pass, right, and with the staff and procedures and how we and all the stuff that we go into that, and building that, you know, training up and really building a mindset, and then enforcing it and following through and being consistent with all the customers, so that if it's rational, I don't find I have very many problems with customers. They, as long as you can articulate it, you're consistent between everyone.
Yeah.
You don't discriminate or anything. You know, I think that is what we're doing that so much more. I don't see that as much in other places, and I think it causes an awful lot of pain and suffering that's unnecessary. So that's where I hope that if we, you know, we kind of take our model and we share what we're doing, we share also the mindset, and that's why, like, even you commissioners being co-mingling with other commissioners from all sorts of different ports, like, I learned stuff from all sorts of staff from other ports. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I should be adopting this, right? Mm-hmm. Same there, they learn from you guys. Just like when we go to the Kids Have All Ports, they can hear, oh, I see. If you give it to them and create a tool, they can use it. But for them to create some of these things is a challenge.
Yeah.
So I hope that what we do is really... and then it's always evolving.
Yeah.
It is.
So, but I really appreciate that Tori and Ray and Austin and Chris. I mean, everybody, every staff member has got this rose more and more of a mindset, and they're knowledgeable, you know, and so we get a great result. Sometimes it's just like, it doesn't seem like a big deal because you don't have a bunch of stuff going wrong, but that's a big deal. You know? It's like you said, I'd rather if you talk to me, I'm the director of risk. But usually I transfer my calls to the claims manager because it's too late. You've got a problem. You don't want that. You want to talk to me, not the claims manager.
It makes you realize how much the small ports that don't have a staff, in talking with some of them, it truly made me appreciate the fact that we have staff, because they actually they would ask me a question about something, and I would go, you know, that falls under something that our staff's in charge of, and we as commissioners don't try to do their jobs. We don't try to get in their day-to-day operations of the port. We let them do their jobs. So I can find that out for you, but that's not something I usually, but yet in our exchange of conversation, realizing that that was what they do as a commission that doesn't have staff.
Right.
And it made me realize just the difference and respecting the fact that you guys letting you do your job and having you do your job, and that is so important too. But it made me appreciate the smaller ports too that don't have staff.
That's a tough.
Yeah, it is
heavy lift.
And I have to say, just an add-on, I am so glad we don't have boathouses.
Yeah.
Old face.
It sounds so simple, and people just look at it. You know, I know, like, I would look at it like no big deal, but there's so much more complexity to some of these things. Even the legal definition or relationship is just crazy.
Paul's boat has boathouses.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Lots of.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that takes us to the end of our next regular meeting is Wednesday, June 28th, at 6:30. It will be hybrid, and it will be here. I don't pretend to repeat the address. We all know the address.
Yep.
And we have a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
And I'll second.
Okay, the time is... 2:14.
Great.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do you want to shut that off?
Oh, yeah.